and Etsy shop owner since 2010. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon. 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We feel like that we have the right individual to succeed Dr. Andrews.
Moorhead State University Board of Regents Chair Paul Goodpaster is talking about Jay Morgan, who is likely to be MSU's next president.
Ashland may have a new city manager by the end of the month.
And the Kentucky Supreme Court will hear a death penalty appeal next week.
In sports, Kentucky will take on Georgia in the Wildcats' first SEC tournament game.
But Luke has the stocks.
Rain this evening with a low near 40. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Dr. Jay Morgan will apparently become the next president of Moorhead State University. MSU Board of Regents Chairman Paul Goodpaster says negotiations will begin Monday on a contract with the former Murray State Provost. Morgan visited Moorhead earlier this week and held forums with faculty, staff, and students. Goodpaster says the man likely to be MSU's 14th chief executive is a good fit for the university.
His demeanor, I think, too, his admiration and love for higher education. He comes from a region that is very similar to the region that we serve, and he understands the issues that we're trying to deal with right now.
Morgan currently works for Kentucky's Council on Post-Secondary Education. He would replace Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires June 30th.
Moorhead State University's new parking garage and dining facility will be named for one of its favorite sons, State Representative Rocky Adkins. The school's Board of Regents today approved the measure honoring the Moorhead Democrat. The facility will be known officially as the Rocky Adkins Dining Commons. However, MSU President Wayne Andrews says it'll probably be referred to almost exclusively by another name, The Rock.
Part of the reason to call it The Rock was I know students are going to love this. You know, where are you going to eat? I'll see you at The Rock. You know, well, let's go over to The Rock and have a cup of coffee. And so it's a real catchy thing. So what we're going to want to do is have some signage around the building that draws attention to that, The Rock. And also to honor Representative Adkins. So there'll probably be some photographs and things in the entryway that highlight the career of a really fine public servant.
Rocky Adkins has been instrumental in securing state funding for many Moorhead State buildings, including the University Center and Space Science Facility.
Kentucky State University's regents are meeting Monday to consider the finalists for university president. The special meeting is at 5 p.m. in the Julian Carroll Academic Services Building. The board will go into closed session to discuss the finalists and pending litigation. KSU said earlier it has been getting feedback on the finalists who visited the Frankfort campus in late February and early March. They were interviewed by the regents and participated in forums where they answered questions from faculty, staff, students, and alumni.
Mayor Steve Gilmore thinks Ashland will have a new city manager by the end of the month. Gilmore says the field of candidates has been reduced to about six.
We're close. We had about 30 applicants. We narrowed it down to about six, and we didn't talk among ourselves. We narrowed down our six, and two of the top ones were on everybody's list the same way. So we're blessed with the quality of managerial people that applied.
Gilmore says some of those who applied for the manager's post have Ashland roots. Ashland has been without a permanent chief executive for more than a year. Benjamin Bitter resigned in February 2016 after 2 years on the job.
A tie vote in Olive Hill last week has left the city without a mayor. According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, Justin Dixon and Jerry Callahan both received equal support for the executive seat. City Council members now have 30 days to conduct another vote. If the city fails to do so, Governor Bevin will have to appoint a mayor. The city has been without a mayor since the death of Kenny Fankel. Without a mayor's signature, city council resolutions and ordinances cannot go into effect.
The House Judiciary Committee has approved a bill enabling juvenile offenders in Kentucky to have their criminal records expunged and give them a better chance to pass criminal background checks as adults. The legislation is sponsored by Republican State Senator Whitney Westerfield of Christian County. He says the intent is to bring the process in line with changes made to the procedure for adult expungement made in 2016. Two Republicans expressed differing views on the bill. Jason Nemus likes it, but Wesley Morgan does not.
I don't know where we're headed with all of these bills that we're having that seems to be protecting the offenders and not protecting the victims. I'm going to vote no.
In response to my good friend, Representative Morgan, I think where we're going is we're trying to help these people have a better life and maybe stop there from being future victims.
Under current Kentucky law, children convicted of a misdemeanor offense must file a motion and go through a court process to have their records expunged. Westerfield's bill sets up a system for expungement of felony juvenile records 2 years after the offender reaches adulthood.
The Kentucky Supreme Court will hear an appeal in a death penalty case next week. Here is KNN's Will Clark.
The justices will hear arguments over whether to reverse the conviction and sentence for Larry Lamont White. White was convicted in 2014 of raping and killing 22-year-old Pamela Armstrong in 1983 and was sentenced to death. The court will hear the appeal in Frankfort during a week where they'll also be presented with cases on police powers, contracts, insurance, and allegations of medical malpractice. I'm Will Clark.
Legislation that would let some mentally ill Kentuckians be ordered by judges into outpatient medical treatment with public defenders representing them at hearings and caseworkers assigned to monitor their progress is on its way to the House floor. The measure, sponsored by State Senator Julie Rocky Adams, cleared a House committee Thursday. Psychologist Sheila Schuster has advocated for such a law for several years.
The whole idea here is to avoid the revolving door of mental inquest warrants and short hospital stays, where the individual is stabilized, usually in a 72-hour period, but is not really launched into full recovery, which takes time and treatment.
Schuster says the bill is called Tim's Law for Tim Morton. He's a Lexington man who died in 2014 over being hospitalized dozens of times over a 36-year period. Morton was frequently taken away in police handcuffs because he didn't recognize that he had schizophrenia.
Kentucky Congressman Brett Guthrie is defending the House Republican plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. The Warren County lawmaker is a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which began debating the measure Wednesday. Guthrie contends the GOP is not out to gut the expanded Medicaid program, just better control its future costs.
It's not a cut. It does try to get Medicaid on a budget. It tries to, we're going to spend over $1 trillion between state and federal in 2026. And this is a program to get it sustainable.
Guthrie says the plan has been discussed with state governors and other stakeholders. He claims many are on board with it.
Vice President Mike Pence plans to visit Louisville on Saturday as he tries to make the case for repealing and replacing former President Obama's health care law. Pence is set to appear with Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin at the event in the hometown of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Fellow Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul has been a critic of the health care legislation backed by President Donald Trump and Pence. Pence was in Ohio and Wisconsin last week in support of the repeal.
A bill effectively cutting funding for Planned Parenthood is on its way to Governor Bevin's desk for his signature. Suzanne Duvall reports Kentucky lawmakers have given the bill their final approval.
The measure would set up a tiered priority system for distributing federal family planning dollars, with Planned Parenthood clinics in the bottom category. The bill would only take effect if Congress repeals federal regulations that ban states from prioritizing who gets the federal money. Republicans say the bill is to punish Planned Parenthood for providing abortions, but Planned Parenthood officials note the organization voluntarily stopped receiving that money in Kentucky, and Planned Parenthood no longer provides abortions in Kentucky. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
One of many states in the U.S. fighting hunger is Kentucky. Food banks are donating food to over 53,000 Kentuckians a week. Unfortunately, several of these organizations think they might be losing funds. Congress met this week for the National Anti-Hunger Policy Conference in Washington, D.C. to discuss the matter. Also there was president of the Food Research and Action Center, Jim Well.
Hunger in states like Kentucky is more prevalent than it is in some of the wealthier states. What people don't don't always realize is that their neighbors, their coworkers, people around them may be going hungry. Parents are skipping meals, so kids get enough to eat.
So far, results of the conference have not been announced.
Kentucky currently requires 4 inspections of underground mines every year, 2 of which must include complete electrical reviews. House Bill 384 cuts one of those inspections and reduces the electrical requirement to 1. Supporters say the state has fewer dollars to spread around and should give inspectors the time to concentrate on a safety analysis program, which allows them to spend a shift with miners. Also, the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration already inspects those mines 4 times a year. Jared Carpenter is chairman of the Senate Energy Committee.
We continue to duplicate a process that doesn't need to be duplicated. This in no way or means makes the mines less safe for our miners or our operators.
But some lawmakers remain wary. Senator Robin Webb is from Grayson.
I don't set federal policy. I'm responsible for state policy. So the blood of any miner is on my hands when I'm setting state policy.
Officials report the State Division of Mine Safety has shed nearly 100 employees and the safety inspection budget has decreased by $7 million over the last decade.
A nearly $600 billion defense authorization bill sponsored by Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers has been approved by the U.S. House of Representatives. The Somerset Republican says the measure puts resources in the right places.
It prioritizes funding where our troops need it the most. It wisely invests in readiness, training, maintenance, and procurement, and ensures that our troops are prepared for the tasks before them. Also, this bill supports our efforts to defeat ISIL alongside our allies in the region, as well as our continued focus on deterring Russian aggression.
Rogers says there's also a pay increase for America's troops. He spoke on the House floor Wednesday.
A bill encouraging school districts to push their school start dates back, allowing more late summer vacation days, is on its way to the governor's desk. Senate Bill 50 allows districts that opt to start no earlier than the Monday closest to August 26th could shorten their required 17-day calendar. Scottsville Democrat Wilson Stone noted the option will mean other changes if schools are to continue meeting the 1,062 hours of mandated instructional time.
Districts might have to go later into the springtime, into the summer, if they do adopt this calendar, unless they make their day significantly longer.
The bill would require districts to create a school calendar committee to decide those start dates, advocates argue. Earlier start times cut into local tourism and run up summer energy costs for schools. If signed by Governor Bevin, districts could choose to shift their start dates starting in 2018.
A new public library in McGoffin County is one step closer to being built. According to WYMT, officials are preparing for a construction bid package to be sent out next week. Officials say the bid will be advertised for 4 weeks before a contractor is hired. As of now, they're hoping to see construction begin by May 1st. Looking at the weather tonight, rain with a low of 40 degrees. Chance of rain is at 70%. Friday, cloudy with a high of 43 degrees. Chance of rain is at 20%. Friday night, clear with a low of 20 degrees. 20% chance of rain through the evening. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 35 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy still with a low of 20 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 42 degrees. Temperature for the listening area, Ashland, 70 degrees. Flemingsburg, 68 degrees. Inez, 70 degrees. Lexington, 70 degrees. Winchester, 70 degrees. And Moorhead, 70 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, a public charity located in Moorhead is celebrating its 12th anniversary. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
It started out as a simple idea, but has grown into much more. Based in Moorhead, Blessing Hands has been assisting with the educational needs of 1,400 students in a Chinese province. The organization has enabled over 100 of those students to graduate from colleges and universities. Betty Cutts is the director and founder of Blessing Hands.
Since 2005, we have been giving a tuition and financial support to children in our sister city, Yangshuo, China. Moorhead is sister cities with Yangshuo. And we also have expanded during that time to five other provinces of China. So we help children go to school.
Cut says that when Blessing Hands was just starting, it soon became clear that educational opportunities in Moorhead's sister city in China were sorely lacking.
When I began, I was teaching in a summer English camp with sister cities in Yangshuo. And the teachers who came to the camp were very poor. They came on bicycles. They wore the same clothes during the week. And they didn't have glasses because their insurance didn't cover glasses. And I asked what their salary was, and at that time it was $19 a month.
Cut says she began asking about the financial situations of families in the province, and that triggered a chain of events.
They took me out to their schools and to the families who couldn't afford to pay tuition. And I decided that we could do something about that as a sister city. And I came back and suggested that we sponsor about 200-some-odd children. And before long, we had sponsors for all of them, and then it just grew from there.
In 2006, Blessing Hands was incorporated as a public charity. After almost 12 years of sponsoring and helping students, Blessing Hands is attempting to take the next step. It's applying for recognition as a foreign non-governmental organization in the People's Republic of China. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up on All Things Considered. That's from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon on WMKY. And Braxton has a check of sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Teams.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team now knows their first-round opponent in the SEC tournament. Georgia defeated Tennessee 59-57 earlier today to advance to the next round of the tournament and take on the Cats. Kentucky head coach John Calipari says now in postseason play, his team will be relying on their experienced players.
Teams that have veteran players, you know, they're taking care of business. And we're probably one of the few young teams that's winning. I mean, out of 350 schools, we're 340-something in age. Like, we're the youngest team in the country trying to play. But Dom makes us older now. Michael makes us older. Derek makes us older. All of a sudden, we're playing three seniors, along with a bunch of other freshmen.
The Cats and the Dogs will face off tomorrow at 1 p.m. in Nashville's Bridgestone Arena. Kentucky is 26-5 on the year. Georgia is 19-13. It is a busy day in college basketball today. Some updated scores from conference tournaments in a game that just went final. Duke beat Louisville 81-77. Earlier today, Villanova embarrassed St. John's 108-67. North Carolina blew out Miami 78-53. Iowa State beat Oklahoma State 92-83. And Michigan beat Illinois 75-55. The search for Moorhead State's next men's basketball coach is still ongoing. After reviewing over 100 applications, the search committee has started interviewing candidates. MSU Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the goal is to have MSU's next bench boss in place pretty soon.
My self-imposed deadline is spring break. So we want to make sure that we have an opportunity to allow these candidates to visit with the team before they break, and then gives the new coach an opportunity to come in and spend a week kind of catching their breath and doing all the things they need to do. I think it's really important to have it done by then. If we miss that mark by a couple of days, then it happens, but that's what I'm shooting for.
Preston Spradlin took over as MSU's interim head coach after Sean Woods resigned. Hutchinson says he will not comment on Spradlin's chances of keeping the job. 15th region winner, girls winner, Paintsville played their first round game of the state tournament this evening at 6:30 up at Northern Kentucky University's BB&T Arena. The 28-4 Lady Lions take on 27-6 Simon Kenton. Paintsville head coach Les Trimble calls the matchup a tall task for his team.
They're a Final Four type team, there's no doubt. They got Stein, they got good guard play, a really big girl in the middle. it's a tough matchup for us. I think we're definitely an underdog. There's no doubt about that. We just hope to go down there and you know, don't beat ourselves. You know, give ourselves a chance. Don't turn it over. Shoot a decent percentage. You know, hold our own on the boards.
This is Paintsville's first appearance in the girls' state tournament in school history. 16th region winner Boyd County were knocked out of the tournament last night, falling to Mercer County 78-50. The Cincinnati Reds, who have won five of their last six games, are taking on the Oakland A's in Arizona in spring training action. At last check, the Reds were down 11-1 in the fourth inning. Reds manager Brian Price, though, says he sees big potential in starting pitcher Anthony DeSclafani once the regular season starts.
I think he's ready to take the next step to becoming really an elite pitcher. He's certainly, you know, our top guy in our rotation, and he has all the things he needs, the demeanor, the stuff, the ability to lead. And for a young guy, I have hopes for him that exceed those of many other guys that we have here.
The Red season opener is just 25 days away. The Morehead State baseball team is currently in OVC action, taking on Southeast Missouri in Game 1 of a three-game series. At last check, the Eagles were up 2-0 in the second inning. At 8-5 on the year, MSU head coach Mike McGuire says his team is in for a battle with SEMO.
In my mind, I think you're going to see two of the top teams in OVC go head-to-head this weekend in the OVC opening series. They got some dangerous bats in their lineup. It's just all around, it's a good club, and I expect it to be a very tough series, and every time we play each other, it seems like, you know, every game comes down to the last inning or two, and I don't expect that to be any different this weekend.
MSU has a doubleheader with SEMO tomorrow afternoon starting at 1 p.m. The Morehead State softball team starts a weekend series with Radford tomorrow afternoon at 1. Head coach David Williams says scoring runs this weekend will be key to his team winning the series.
I think the biggest thing is we got to score runs, you know, getting some run support for our pitchers and then maintaining their offense, you know, as far as trying to control what opportunities they get. So I think if we have a good defensive game plan and couple that with a really good offensive game plan, I think we're going to be okay. So, you know, scoring runs and providing run support for the pitching staff is going to be key.
MSU is 9-7 on the year. Radford is 9-6. And finally in sports, some notes from around the NFL. The Houston Texans have traded quarterback Brock Osweiler, a second-round pick, and a sixth-round pick to Cleveland for a fourth-round pick. The Chicago Bears have released quarterback Jay Cutler, making him a free agent. Washington quarterback Kirk Cousins has requested to be traded. And after reporting Tony Romo would be released by the Cowboys, ESPN is now reporting that Dallas is looking to trade the quarterback, with both the Denver Broncos and Houston Texans being the favorites to land him. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Southeast Missouri for three games this weekend, and softball welcomes Radford for three games on Saturday and Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
4:53, you're in tune with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of business news for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed flat as investors got ready for key employment data to be released tomorrow morning, and the Dow finishing with a small gain of 2.46 at 20,858.19. The S&P 500 was up 1.89 at 2364.87, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.26 at 5838.81. And, of course, tomorrow morning, the February non-farm payrolls report is scheduled for release at 8:30. Yesterday, ADP said that private companies added 298,000 jobs last month, and this, of course, shattered estimates. And subsequently, major Wall Street firms raised their estimate for tomorrow's report. And, of course, tomorrow's report will be a key as Wall Street looks for one more item confirming that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates next week. And U.S. Treasury bonds were up today in terms of their rate, with the benchmark 10-year note yield climbing above 2.6%. And, of course, the anticipation of a Fed rate hike is very high for this month. According to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool, March rate hike expectations are almost 91%. European equities traded higher today as the European Central Bank concluded a meeting. The pan-European Stock 600 index gained 0.08%, and the ECB did announce they were keeping interest rates unchanged, as was widely expected. And in response, the euro rose about 0.5% against the U.S. dollar and briefly broke above $1.06. In the commodities markets, oil was down 57 cents to finish at $49.68 a barrel, and gold was down $3.10, finishing at $1,202.15 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Johnson & Johnson and DuPont. Your worst performers were Caterpillar and IBM. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Signet Jewelers and Marathon Oil, and the worst performers were Staples and PPG Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 87 cents at 119.93, CSX down 7 cents at 47.58, AEP down 31 cents at 64.84, AK Steel up a penny at 7.80, Marathon Petroleum down 94 cents at 49.28, and Community Trust Bank was up 10 cents to finish at 45.85. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org. The weather tonight, rain with a low of 40 degrees. Chance of rain is at 70%. Friday, cloudy with a high of 43 degrees. Chance of rain is at 20%. Friday night, clear with a low of 20 degrees. 20% chance of rain through the evening. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 30 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy still with a low of 20 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 42 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy still with a low of 24 degrees. Monday, cloudy with a high of 45 degrees. Chance of rain is at 10%. Monday night, still cloudy with a low of 32 degrees. Small 10% chance of rain through the evening. Tuesday, rainy with a high of 36 degrees. Chance of rain is at 60%. And on Tuesday night, chance of snow with a low of 19 degrees. 60% chance of rain through the evening. And in Moorhead, it is 70 degrees.
And that will do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.